hello there. Welcome to the On to the Next podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa, and I am so happy you are here. If you are watching on YouTube, you already see that I have a guest with me today. Let's give a warm welcome to Miss Kelly Maxwell.
Hello,
Kelly. Hey. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Can we let them know who you are?
Yeah, my name is Kelly Maxwell. I'm a singer-songwriter based right here in Chicago. And yeah, I began this journey in April, and this is where I am now, so.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize April.
Yeah, it's when I officially started.
Okay.
That's when my first song was released, yeah.
Cute, so 4 months.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she's 4 months old.
She's still a baby.
She is.
Oh my God, it looked like you had a lot more things established. I thought it was at least a year.
Well, so the thing is, like, that's when I first started actually becoming vulnerable and releasing it.
Okay.
But it's been a journey before.
Yeah.
Like, I started how most people do with, like, song covers.
Got it.
Just kind of building your, like, audience and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I actually had started songwriting very young. And
okay.
Kind of went from, like, journal to music to, yeah, so. Yeah, a lot of what you see was, like, demos and stuff just come to life.
Got it. So. That's so cool. I didn't even realize it was that quickly.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Thank you.
So Kelly and I met because we actually went to the same university. But what's funny is I don't think we spoke.
No.
Which is like really obnoxious thinking about it now. I know we had, were you a business major, marketing?
Yes, marketing.
Okay,
yeah.
I had a business minor, like marketing focus, all that stuff. So we had a few like business classes together. I do remember you in the classes. I just don't think we spoke.
Yeah, we had like a couple classes together. We just, I guess we're on opposite sides of the room.
But
you gotta spread the talent.
yeah, they did. That's so
like,
funny.
Guys, let's make this fair. They put me in the middle of all the 10 football players.
I was always by all the like basketball or lacrosse players. They sprinkled the token few little girls who were in the class because it was always a bunch of guys and like not enough women in the class.
It's because the brain power they had, they did have to disperse it. So
that's hilarious. So that's so funny. But because of social media, the power of social media,
I saw
you posting. I think we've always followed each other, maybe.
Yeah.
But when I saw you posting like music and stuff, any person who's like just trying to do their own thing creatively, I just am naturally like drawn to. So I obviously was like watching your journey, and I was like, oh my God, this would be a dope person to have on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's perfect because like I could probably speak for a lot of people who are like just wanting to dive into music and understand. You know what it takes to really like be vulnerable with yourself and put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Because I'm brand new to the industry.
Okay.
But I'm not new necessarily to music.
Yeah.
So.
Which is a whole other two beasts to conquer for sure.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think you followed or maybe DM'd my podcast account.
Yeah.
Which was so cute.
Yeah.
I remember being like, oh my God. So that was like cute. That's like how I remember, I think. That was a few months ago.
Well, I'm all for like self-love. You know, mental health and stuff like that. So when I saw that, that's exactly what your podcast was about. I'm like, I'm following.
Yeah, that was so cool. That was so cool. I literally remember it that like vividly, which was great. So that's a little like tidbit, guys. Just reach out to people, DM, send them messages. You never know what can come out of it. And just support other creatives.
That's like makes huge. Everything possible. That's how music is possible too.
Totally.
All of my songs. I don't know if you know this either. It was all completely done remotely.
What do you mean?
I work with like remote producers,
okay,
and mixing engineers and master engineers, and the only thing I did in person was create the idea off of my guitar and then obviously the songwriting bit of it, and then with all that combined talent, we took it to the studio, like a local studio where I could actually record studio vocals.
Okay,
but then that was literally sent back to like remote producers, so.
It's all possible
through social media.
That's really cool. And you can do it anywhere around the world.
Anywhere around the world.
Were other producers not in Chicago?
No. I mean, there are obviously a lot.
Of course.
But not the ones that I currently work with.
Got it. That's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show, like, there's so many tools out there. Other than just social media, too. Like, you can have a studio session and either put it through Zoom or, like, Discord.
Yes.
Or something that's, like, readily accessible and free to people. it's just so cool. And, you know, it's great for the relationship building, too.
Yeah.
Because I've, like, nurtured a lot of really great relationships out of, like, the music side of it.
Yeah, and that comes with, like, you've, like, used your resources and you were your own advocate.
Yeah.
It sounds like. And that's, like, mm-hmm. key, because if you don't have those, like, qualities and you're a people person, like, you know how to talk and all that stuff. So, like,
yeah.
that's all, like, helpful, obviously, to get you in.
Yeah. But I was honestly just so excited, too.
It is exciting.
Yeah. When some people would come to me with, like, a song demo idea, I'd be like, oh, my, like, they want me on this? Like, how am I gonna actually, like, elevate this vocally and lyrically and make it, like, pop and stuff?
Yeah. So I do want to get really into cool. your music, but I have two questions. One... Okay, I'll just do this one first. One, when you take your pictures, like, who takes your pictures? Is that you?
Oh, the one, are you talking about the train station ones?
Yeah, like, whatever you posted more recently, yeah. I commented on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, actually, I was working with a photographer in Chicago for that. Yeah, I found through social media. Huh.
Yeah, no, I saw, I'm like, why is she literally a model? You have, like, the perfect, like face structure, like, with your posing.
No.
You guys have to go look at her Instagram. We'll plug all the Instagrams and stuff, but the pictures you posted recently, like, I'm a shy girl.
Stop.
You're like, but tell me more. No, the pictures you posted recently, I'm like, oh my god, this is, like, high fashion.
Yeah, I think it just, like, I basically met this photographer online, Chicago-based.
Yeah.
I really loved his quality stuff, like, just the color grading and the quality,
mm-hmm.
and he had this huge camera there with
yeah.
him, and I just came to him with an idea. I was like, hey, so for my song release, I have this idea, this vision. I sent him, like, Pinterest, like,
yeah, of course.
References
yeah.
and stuff, and then I just had an outfit planned. I brought my guitar, and then we just went to, I think, like, the Red Line or something like that,
uh-huh.
where they had an elevator downstairs, and I was like, this made for some really cool pictures. And he knew how to pose me, too.
Yeah, which is great.
So, because I was like, I'm running out of poses. I don't do this. So.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's cool, because they, like, obviously work with a lot of people, so they kind of know what visions
yeah.
can come to life.
Yeah, and at the end, it was really cool, because he was like, yeah, definitely hit me up for, like, more stuff like this. I love things like this. I'm more like, corporate.
Okay.
Based.
Really
so,
cool.
So he likes the creative idea.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah.
That's good to know. I might have to ask you for his info.
Yeah.
Whenever
yeah.
I'm doing yeah. like little shoots and stuff.
Yeah. Because the turnaround was crazy. I got the yeah. pictures back the next day. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Maybe actually 4 hours or something.
Oh my god.
I'm like,
gosh.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Right.
Yeah, like he was excited, which
yeah.
is cool.
It was my first time doing something like that too, and it was a great experience. Like, I think in an hour or so, we were able to get like 40 pictures
yeah.
done, and then I was just able to pick the ones I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's like, bring a cigar.
And,
like,
oh my gosh,
cool.
That's cute.
I was like, okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, they looked so good. They totally like fit what I, like the vibes you're going for, which was like obviously
totally.
Important to like match that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was just, I mean, I think like you had mentioned off camera and stuff, like, oh, what are like some of the things you do like on your own? Like, because I'm doing this completely by myself. I don't have management or anything
uh-huh.
like that, but I'm a very visual person. So
yeah.
like when I think of releases, I think of them very visually.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I have to do a little photo shoot.
Oh my god, that is like crucial. Yeah, and it
yeah.
makes your quality look more professional too.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like evident in the song, like you hear the train sound
yeah.
in the song. Like, it's about leaving, you know, like, so.
Yeah, that's so creative. And you're using
yeah.
the resources of being in Chicago, free
yes.
location,
yeah.
which is, like,
mm-hmm.
very hard to find sometimes.
Yes.
And just kind of guerrilla style, like,
yeah.
filming or taking photos and stuff, which is
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You have to go all in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so.
Just go full out whenever it happens.
I was, like,
happens.
So nervous because... I'm not used to, like, the attention of people, like, looking at me in public yet.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you're, like, doing all these crazy poses, and I was like, there's no people here. Nope, just focus on the camera.
yeah, because everyone's in their own world. Like,
yeah.
you just can't,
mm-hmm.
like, think like that, you know, which is
I
good.
I think, okay, they're going to, like, think, what the hell was that? And then they're going to walk in, like,
and
not remember
totally.
it.
Totally. Or they'll think you're someone, like, super important and, like,
yeah,
like,
guys, it's a bit. I
like,
just have to run with it.
Yeah, no, literally. yeah, I've always thought of, like, I love the, like, people who interview people, like, on the streets or, like, doing the commute or whatever it is. I'm like, I feel like there's a clever way I can like do that.
Yeah.
In some way. Yeah. But that's a whole other journey I've been thinking about, which is off topic.
Yeah. That'd be very cool, especially because there's a lot of people who have like so many different things going on with their life that like you can just mention anything that's related to your podcast and just have them talk.
Yeah.
Be cool.
I have a few questions that I feel like I can go and ask every person and like we get a cool answer.
Oh, absolutely.
A little tiny mic moment, you know?
You know, people even do this with music so much. Like I've seen so many creativity on the internet lately of I can't remember his name, but there's this guy who literally sits by this bench and it's a very interactive case. Like he'll have his guitar and then this poster board that says like talk to me about your biggest like problem or your biggest insecurity, and then they talk about it, and then he gets up and stands behind the stage and starts singing them like a hopeful song.
Aww.
And I'm like, that is the energy we need.
That's like really creative and to think on your feet like in that moment, which is really cool.
It's really engaging to people too.
Yeah,
you know, like everyone's going through some type of problem of their own, and that just goes to show like music is so healing.
Yeah, totally.
In many different ways.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do have to ask you before we get more into this world is what era are you in right now?
I'm in my Rockstar Girl era.
Period. That's so cute. I love that. Okay. Well, we didn't even need to. That's enough said right there. Thank you. I love that.
Of course.
So going back to the basics, what? So you kind of mentioned already about the music and stuff and like how you've like done this little journey.
Yeah.
What made you finally realize like I just have to do it, and like who cares if I'm nervous or if I'm scared, or like what like was your final thing that was like, this is it, I'm doing this?
The message behind everything I was doing.
Okay.
Like I felt that it was so healing to me, and the songwriting part and the whole like song creation from start to finish, I'm like, this actually could heal someone possibly. And I think it was bigger picture that like I was thinking outside of me for a second and being like, I just want a lot of people to resonate with like this type of music. And I felt like, you know, there's opportunities for me to sound maybe a little bit different than like your average like pop star
wannabe.
Like it's songs with meanings, like they're all completely written by me. And then I have very talented producers that I work with that kind of elevate it and bring it to life.
Mm-hmm.
I usually just start with like a simple little guitar chord progression with my vocals, with the song I'm writing, send it over, they come back with something beautiful. So
that's so cool.
But I knew I just wanted, like, it's ingrained in me, music.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
I knew it was going to be something big one day. Obviously, it's still new, but...
No, but that's a good perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And did you always play guitar? Did you learn on your own? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, I started when I was, like, 10, I believe. There were some neighborhood kids growing up that, like, had guitars, and I was, like... The first time I saw one and laid eyes on it, I was, like, holy shit, I need one of these for myself. This is so cool. This is fun. Like, they were electric, I think, too.
Okay.
But my dad got me, and my mom got me a Fender acoustic.
Okay.
That was the first time. Aww. I was like, oh my God. So I just started learning first before I even sang or wrote or anything like that. But I started learning actually in person. Like, there were some lessons I took.
Okay.
That were pretty helpful, but then after a little bit it just became too expensive, and then I just started getting the hang of it. So then I became a little bit self-taught, and then after a while I got the hang of it and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then do you play piano or anything else?
I play keyboard very roughly, but I say that, I don't know, I really just take like the chords I learned from the guitar and hear it on the keyboard.
Yes. And you can transfer that over.
Don't ask me about music theory. I don't know.
Okay, I will.
Don't ask me what key my song is in.
That's so funny. I love that.
I'm just here for the vibe.
Yeah, no, literally, just putting it out there. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in Chicago?
No.
I was gonna say, where are you from?
So there's like, I like lived around a lot of different states actually growing
okay.
up. I was born in Wisconsin, and then my family moved because my dad's job. But
okay.
my family moved to Michigan and North Carolina, Pennsylvania. And then I went to Chicago for school specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also have a lot of family around here. So
okay.
I wanted a city experience kind of.
Yeah.
And everyone where I grew up mostly in Pennsylvania was like Penn State or like Pittsburgh, like somewhere like kind of, I don't know. I just wanted a different
local
experience.
To that area.
Yeah, local. But
okay.
yeah, I don't know. There was something about Chicago I always wanted to explore more. But yeah. Then I loved it so much that I moved back here.
Yeah, there's so much to do.
Literally.
Everything, especially in the creative world. Like, there's so much, like, love and creatives in Chicago, which I think is really, like, special. And it's, like, absolutely. It's a blessing to be in a big city.
Yeah.
When we're in these industries.
Oh, absolutely. There's just so much opportunity, like, just trying to gain, you know, those relationships with, mm-hmm. like, in as it pertains to, like, music and live performances and stuff, too.
Yeah.
There's just so many connections to be made with, like, just basic, like, bar owners and stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
To where you can just, like, play weekly and then, you know, you'll be set there. Or, like, they also have this intimate concert space, you know, So Far?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So I was going to actually sign up for that because, as an artist, like, they'll have, like, these pop-up, like, concert spaces for you to perform it. I'm like, yeah. That's so cool. It's bohemian style.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't even know who the lineup is, like, who's performing. Like,
okay.
As the audience, and you're told the location, I believe it's, like, 30 hours before the show.
Okay.
So it's really, really cool. That's really cool. It's like a speakeasy.
Yeah, for, literally.
Like, music.
There's probably such cool people that go there, too. Yeah. And that who would, like, want to find you and, like follow you, yeah. You know?
You literally never know. It's, like, always crazy with music and, like, social media, too.
Yeah.
I was able to connect with a lot of people that I didn't think I would with music, too.
Okay.
Like, there was this person I was following for a while. Her name's Anne Klein. Shout out to you, Anne Klein, if you're watching. But no, she's very inspirational to me because she does a lot of live performances.
Okay.
And, like, I think moved and is able to perform a lot in Florida and stuff and gained her following to, like, 10,000. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I very much want to follow in your footsteps.
Yeah.
And because I finally put my music out there, she reaches back out to me. She's like, so dope. Like, your music's amazing. Aww. I'm like, whoa.
That's it hits so different, cool.
I think. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about your music sound because I feel like you have definitely always vibes. But is it, like, more alternative, would you say? Would you say it's, like, how would you describe your music?
I would describe it as, like, I guess genre-based. It's more R&B pop.
Okay. I could see that. Okay.
With notes of, like, alternative. Because, like, I'm pretty fluid with genres. Like,
yeah.
I'm not scared to go genre hopping. Like, just to get songs out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool. It says a lot about, like, experimenting as an artist and stuff, too. But yeah, that's how I describe myself. I also write a lot about relationships and healing and escapism and, yeah, just what that kind of looks like in song form.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was listening a few days ago to U-Haul. And that song, for like 3 days, that chorus was stuck in my head.
Yeah.
It's so, hook. It's like so just like, it's just, yeah, you can't get it out. Not in a bad way. It's just like so like, and it's very fluid, like you said, which is obviously the goal when you're songwriting. You want that stuff to make sense and to be in someone's brain for multiple days.
Yeah. Because then they go back to it. They tell their friends like, oh my God, this ridiculous song I just came across.
Yeah, like, no, it's so cool. Yeah, you guys listening like have to go listen because.
Not a U-Haul.
Because it's just it's very vibey, like totally vibey, like all of them. And I agree with the beats and stuff, like I can see the R&B side totally.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's the goal. Like I wanted all my songs to have their own vibe but still be catchy and still be vulnerable, still be resonating to people. Like anyone could come across it and find it connecting in some way. They're like, oh yeah, I just like literally went through something like this and like added to their playlist.
Yeah,
but
it's so cool. And I saw you've been posting, you're getting like a good amount of streams.
Yep.
Which is like so exciting.
Yeah, it's surreal.
That's so cool. How did you get to that, do you think?
Well, so I think like building up your own audience goes a long way at the start of it because, you know, once you start building like an actual fan base and then you promote your music, you'll already have like a guaranteed amount of people who will back your stuff and listen to your stuff regardless of like how you'll sound, but just because they support you.
Yeah, they like you as a person. Like,
yeah,
you're
likeable. They like you as a person, so they're going to listen to the song. And stuff like that. Yeah. But that's how it first started. And then I was like, I follow a lot of like music marketers and stuff like that online.
Yeah.
And just like how to go about it. So I did do like a paid search campaign.
Okay.
For one of the songs and stuff like that. Actually, it was U-Haul.
Okay.
And I mixed it with constant posting so that I would kind of like hit a certain target and like just see what it would do. But organically, I was able to understand my target audience better.
Cool.
It reached a certain amount of people better. And organically, it was able to be put on like, I believe, 10 popular like playlists.
That's what's game changing.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And also, like, I worked in paid search and stuff like that for a long time. So, I knew how that would work, like, setting up the ad campaigns.
Okay.
And stuff like that, just because I knew my audience at that point.
Yeah.
But it was really, really, really cool to see kind of the traction that it's gained and who it's impacted. Because I also did a lot of the promotion on TikTok, too, organically.
Yeah, I saw,
I was like, people love tea. In drama.
Yes. No, literally.
Let me just tell you the lore behind this song. Yeah. So basically, this was something that it had like a crazy backstory, and I'm like, you hear so many people in this niche space, like in the queer community, talking about being a U-Haul lesbian. A lot of people don't even know what that is, but it's basically when things go so well on your dates that you're just ready to move in. You're literally ready to move in. It could be in a span of 1 day, 3 days, 10 hours, depending on how good the conversation goes. But I was like, let me break the stigma here for the people who don't feel like the relationship went well and who want to actually take their time and be cautious and be slow and be okay with knowing that it just wasn't something that worked out. But let me make it comical.
It was clever.
Funny.
Like, the not a U-Haul is clever.
Yeah.
Like, I knew, like, what the, like, stereotype was, or however you would call it.
Yeah.
And so I, like, chuckled when I was like, oh, that's clever. Like, I got the point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, explaining that on TikTok also, like, educates people about, like, that, the community. Mm-hmm. And then also those who are in the community, it's showing the representation, which
Absolutely.
Is important, and speaking on those experiences, which is so important. Yeah.
And I think, like, with the success it's had, and it being my second song, mm-hmm. it's only like gained a bigger audience of people who are like the like-minded people who I was trying to target these
totally
people.
Yes, it's all absolutely
but I don't know, it's been a really, really cool experience so far. But to and also make it a trending sound was cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. All of that is just so cool.
Yeah.
To get to that, and it's only been a few months, so totally, like, it's only the beginning, like you said.
I didn't even plan for this, but when I first started working on this song with a remote producer, and she's also queer friendly.
Okay.
But so we were having a laugh, like, producing this song together. But this was actually started last November. And it just so happened we wrapped everything up. I was able to upload it after mixing and stuff in June. So it was like Pride Month,
U-Haul. That's perfect.
It was perfect
That's
timing.
Great for marketing.
No,
purposes.
Literally, I was like, oh,
wow. That's really cool. Yeah.
It's like, let me put JoJo's shining face on one of
these things. Oh, my gosh, literally. OMG, send it to her, see what happens.
God, yeah, no, something happened, so
that's so cool. That's really that's really, like, clever for future stuff. Now you can plan it to be like around those months, which is cool.
I just love making content really fun too.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to be every basic, like, stereotypical artist who's like, well, if you like this, then you'll like
marketing. Yeah,
and then just post like lyrics. I want it to be a little bit more meaningful, and I'm like, have you ever heard about this? And, like, just create content, and if people like the content, they're gonna stay on the page and be like, oh wait, what's this song, you know?
Yeah, and it's clever, and I feel like I'm someone at least who, like, really appreciates sarcasm, so any type of like clever, like, witty comments or jokes or inside jokes you have with the whole TikTok page or whoever it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that also makes people think, like, make you more of, like, a person.
Yeah.
And make them like you as a person, which is important.
Mm-hmm. I've also noticed, like, my following specifically on TikTok, they tend to be readers. Like, they
when
I have the content posted as, like, photo carousels.
Yeah.
The text so that they can read it because they perform better. They like it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, let me just, like, create a little story for you guys.
And if it works, it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so I did want to talk on, obviously, like, your experience as to why you're doing all this is for, like, the greater good, for the lack of better words.
Yeah.
But for new creatives and new artists in any field wanting to start something new, what were some challenges that you had to overcome before, like, fully allowing yourself to be public?
Definitely vulnerability is one, because I mean, it's just a part of you that's releasing it out into the world. You never know what the traction is going to be like. You never know how it's going to perform.
Yeah.
And just like the fear of the unknown and the fear of not knowing where to start. Yes. Like, there's so many artists out there, like, it's overwhelming. If you're like brand new to this like industry, just the steps that you have to take just to even release one song.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And you're taken seriously when you actually release a song.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think there's like a big imposter syndrome there where you're just like, no, it's not for me. Like, I'll never make it. Like, the self-sabotage mm-hmm. is real. But then once you actually put it out there and can see the traction it's gaining, like, for the greater good, yes, that's one of the reasons. But also, I just want to be able to do this full time.
Yeah.
And have it support my living and stuff,
yeah,
like that
100%.
Too. And I don't know why I always thought this way, but I was like, making it big looks so different to so many people.
Yes.
Like, making it big, I think, in most people's eyes are like, oh, popularity, as big as Chapel Roan, mm-hmm. things like that. But making it big could literally be, okay, I posted a couple songs, I landed a couple live gigs weekly, and I'm able to support my income.
Yes.
I bought a house. Boom.
Yeah.
That's making it big to me.
Yeah, and that's perfect. And that's, if that's your thing, and like, it's like the celebrities will come out and be like, oh, I knew I made it big when all my bills were paid for, or like all my debt was covered. Like, just those little things is like a big deal to people, and some do it just for the fame, and then the money comes, or like whatever it is. So that's a good way of putting it. Like, you obviously, the end goal is to be as big as you want to be, but like you said, having just a full-time gig of being able to go and perform in different spots in the city, going home, redoing it all over again without having like a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Is like the goal and the dream.
That is the goal and the dream. And I think like it can be intimidating to some people because, well, I have that background in marketing. So I might know what the content calendar would look like and to create a schedule for myself. Because I feel some people want to just jump into it, but they're scared. They don't know what it's going to be like. But it's okay to sit in that moment and be like, well, what are the lessons you learned from this release? Go back and then take notes and then make it better for the next one. Make it better for the next one. That's constantly what I'm thinking about. I'm like, how can I actually dive in and make something so great the next time around or
and
better?
That's important. And not just staying stagnant to like what worked. Like, you can always try new creative routes, and then you can always go back to what worked if you have to. But
And like, it's not always like a failure. Like, if your song got like less streams or something like that, that's not a failure. That's just like a little road bump.
Yeah.
The important part is being consistent.
Yeah.
So
I was, I was listening to this content creator on Instagram, and she was like, when I was starting off, I was like beating myself up if I didn't get like more than 10,000 views, if I didn't hit triple double digits with the views. She's like, until I realize I have 500 followers, my reel got 2,000 views. That's a viral reel for me. I reached 1,500 extra people that I don't have following me. And then if I just keep that mindset, then the 500 grows to 1,000 followers. Then it grows to 2,000. And then until now, she's at over 1 million, which is insane. But like, it just shows like giving yourself grace in the sense of like, hey, if you have 1,000 followers and you're reaching 3,000 every reel you post, you're doing something right.
You are.
You just got to keep seeing what you can do to get better and to like get a larger audience. That's what you want.
Yeah. I think people also, like, on TikTok specifically, they're like, how do I get out of the 200 view jail?
Yeah.
This and that. And I'm like, that's like an imposter syndrome type thing. But you're reaching 200 people each post.
Yes.
I was like, I literally posted 3 posts the other day that just got 200, but that was like 800 in one day.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about that.
Yeah, and then you're still reaching those people. And even if it's 20 views, like, someone in that 20 views is like, wow, and they save it. And they look back at it later.
Yeah. And that's why you do it. Like, I think that can be a very self-harming way to look at it. Like, if you're just looking at the numbers, because it's about the meaning. Sure, like, you'll have off days, just like anything. Like, anything in life is literally a roller coaster. It has its ups and downs. It has its middles. But you don't want to stick in the middle. So maybe it's good to have a down day, to have like a 200 view post day, because the next day you might have a 15,000 view.
Yeah.
And everything is about averaging and just consistency. And
and consistency is a word everyone in this industry says, and
it's just so true,
but it can get daunting. So like, you can give yourself a break. You can be like, hey, you know what, after 5 p.m I literally am not touching my phone, like I want to go on a walk or whatever it is. But like, just remembering like, okay, or I'll do like a lot of like batching where I'll like like schedule out like 3 posts
yeah.
for like a few days so I can like breathe and like work on another other stuff and then just go back and I know like something's being posted in some way.
I was just gonna say, yeah, like you could have literally like a content filming day
yeah.
and a content editing day in like the beginning of the month where like everything's all set. You just need to like pick from your camera roll and post it.
Yeah.
So that like during that type of day, okay, cool. It's just gonna take me a minute to post that day. And then the mm-hmm. rest of the day I have to recharge my energy and think of the next great thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah. definitely consistency is key.
They say that too because of algorithms.
Yes.
And literally what's changing for social media too. Like for Instagram specifically, like obviously its biggest competitor is TikTok and it mm-hmm. wants to highlight reels specifically. So I follow a lot of these like I said, the music advertisers mm-hmm. or music marketers, and they're like, post one reel a day. Even it could be like one that's door opening or it could be one that's like audience building uh-huh. from there. So like you could post covers, remixes, stuff like that. And that's literally like just inviting people in and engaging. But then you post your own song or you post like real content that's like a day in my life or something yeah. like that. So then they get to know you yeah. after the cover.
Mm-hmm.
But it just keeps people engaged, I think.
Yeah. yeah.
And that seems daunting.
It's a lot. I mean, for someone, like I post like a lot and I post a lot of like my personal life and like my day-to-day life, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it is a thing though, having to have the right people in your circle who are okay with like, hey, before we eat this meal, I need a photo of it. Like those yeah. little things mm-hmm. of having someone be like, hey, wait, that's a good picture. Like go back. Like I'm going to film you walking or like whatever it is. What I call is like, I need B-roll of my life.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with the phrase B-roll, like when you watch a show and it like cuts to like this landscape of Chicago before it goes into the house or whatever it is, like that landscape of Chicago showing where the setting is like the B-roll. So I like to film everyday life things and it's just me just eating, drinking coffee, filming, video editing, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Just the most mundane things I can just add into a bunch of little clips
yeah.
and make it into a bunch of different videos.
It makes it appealing and you can reuse and recycle kind mm-hmm. of in a way.
You yeah. can. Yeah, especially yeah. with things that we did well in the past. If it's been over a year and you haven't, that one got 10,000 views, you can repurpose it and
yeah.
find a new way to create it. And you have a new audience. It's been a year. Not everyone's going to remember or yeah. not everyone has seen that yet.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy too. Like a video that performs really well that you structured perfectly like that, it's always something noteworthy to go back to and figure out, okay, yeah. wait, what was it about this video that my followers really mm-hmm. liked or that my non-followers were attracted to?
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's something that I really leaned into on TikTok.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, maybe like a year's worth of like the TikTok covers. I got over like 1,000 followers, but then like I reached like 4,000 follower mm-hmm. category once I literally posted a picture of me and then a poem.
Yeah, it is
crazy.
Crazy.
But I leaned into it. I was like, okay, let me just do the same thing the next day. Same thing.
Yeah.
It blew up. I was
yeah.
like, okay, well.
It's working.
yeah. And yeah. then I'm like, let me do another picture like this. And then instead of a poem, it's going to be my song lyrics. And then it's going to have my song.
Perfect.
And the audio.
Yeah.
It got like, some of them got over 50,000 views. It's like,
yeah.
whoa.
If it's working, it's working.
Yeah. I was like, okay, my audience is readers.
yeah. Yeah. That's what you said earlier. Yeah. And I know the videos we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, but I definitely know there's so many resources. You can find any of this information by just Googling, like, best time to post on Instagram.
Literally, best, yeah.
Like, and there's so many resources, so I feel like in this industry and being a creative or being an entrepreneur or, like, having to market yourself or your brand or your company, like, there are resources to make it done,
mm-hmm.
and not everyone has the time to do it. I understand that, but even a couple hours a day, like, can be game changing.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to take a crazy amount of brain power. Like
mm-hmm.
speaking on like the music industry specifically, in terms of content wise, you can literally follow someone that you really admire or like that is doing very successful, that's similar to your music style.
Yeah.
And see what they're doing. What's all the hype?
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
And stuff like that. And just obviously tweak it to yourself.
Yeah.
To make yourself seem more unique.
Yeah.
But obviously, I know, then you can become into this, like, comparative realm that can be,
mm-hmm.
like, comparison is the thief of joy, and then you're like, ah. But, yeah. Sometimes you do have to compare yourself, though, to other artists to see where you start. and then figure out how do I elevate myself and change.
Yes, I do agree with that. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. But a lot of that also comes with, like, your knowing your own value and, like, your own worth and, like, hey, even if this person who's started the same day as me is doing better, it's, like, that's meant for her right now or for him right now. And my thing is separate, you know, like, to know, like, you're still worth it and you still have the value in what you're trying to create and put out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, a big thing, too, is, like, the music industry is all about, like, how can I get on playlists? Mm-hmm. That's, like, the big game. And, like, you have to compare yourself to know where you fit. Like, what playlist will you fit?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And, you know, how can I get there? Like, who can I talk to? Who can I speak with? What is my track record now?
Yeah.
And now that I've been on a couple playlists, that is, like, a good pitch for me.
Mm-hmm.
And once I start performing live, which is hopefully soon.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Then it'll
so
just
exciting.
Be another thing. And then, like, obviously PR will back it. After all that.
But. And then also, like, if you're performing live, like, the bars or wherever it is are going to promote, like, singers and musicians coming in. And like we said earlier, you'll meet those like-minded people, which is really game-changing for, like, what you're trying to do.
I think the biggest thing for me, too, was, like, before I even wanted to do, like, live performing, which I do want to do, it was so important for me to establish, like, an online presence and also be able to actually have a place for people to go back and listen.
Yes.
Because, like, what good is your song if, like, the people can't go back and hear it? You know, they're just going to forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, have it stored in their camera roll somewhere from that night out.
Yeah. never go back to
you have to. Girl, I swear she's good.
Yeah, and it's, like, a video of them, like, shaking or it's blurry or whatever it is. Yeah, that's super important, is having somewhere to go, like, for the follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that on TikTok and Instagram, on Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff. Yeah.
So it's like strategy in place. So. Mm-hmm. But it looks different for everybody.
It does.
So.
Yeah, and everyone's goals and angles
no
are different.
No shade to you guys who perform live, who don't have anything out.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, YouTube and SoundCloud is just as good.
Yeah, YouTube also can pay some good money once you blow up, which is always a goal, too. Yeah. So, obviously, a lot of your music and everything is relationship-based, like we talked about. So, I did want to ask you a bit about, like, inspirations, how that's working. If I remember correctly, you're also in a long-distance relationship.
That's correct.
Okay, so if you're comfortable at a long-distance experience, I would love to hear about, because that is, like, a whole other beast in itself.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. But, yeah, first to touch on that.
Yeah.
A lot of my music, literally every piece of my music is, like, relationship-based. Whether or not it was, like, a romantic relationship I was in, or, like, a family relationship or something. I find it's personally just the easiest for me to write about.
Okay.
And I feel it's just so relatable. Like, so many people have relationships that come and go.
Totally.
People have great relationships that they just want to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that hope and stuff. But, yeah, it's the balance of all of that that I like to just juggle, write on, and then release. But, yeah, some of my, like, all of my songs that you've heard are all about relationships. That's better than,
So, what made you, okay, I get this question a lot, being on a podcast, like, with my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
People are, like, when I talk about, like, relationships or boys, like, for me, when I'm in that world, people are, like, don't they know who you're talking about? Or, like, they kind of get, like, did you ask this person to talk about them? And, like, they kind of get, like sussed out, maybe, I don't know, but I've had a couple boys reach out and be like, oh my god, is this about me? And it's, like, funny, but if I'm talking about a boy in a positive way, like, you'll know, lots of love. If I'm talking about a boy in a negative way, you'll probably also know. And, like, whatever, I would tell him to the face, or I might have already told him to the face, or it's just my own reflections and my own experiences. They can come on and tell me theirs, and they can say I was the best or the worst, and I would be fine. That's their own experience, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So for you, have you had any, like, backlash if you are writing about a person?
No.
Okay, that's
because,
good.
Because I strictly am no contact with a lot of the people that I have written about and that I do write about and stuff like that. Or, like, you know, just, like, the stuff that you don't see, like the demos that I have that are ready to be released sometime. No, they're all built to be pretty vague.
Okay.
So I never mention, like, names or anything, like, too personal.
Yeah, I won't do a name either.
No,
but
it's more just, like, they'll know. If they hear it, they'll know. But, like, if they don't, then they don't. They don't. They then it wasn't about them.
Or they won't realize because they maybe aren't self-aware of the situation.
They want it to be about them.
Yeah, right? They're making it more dramatic than it is, and like literally that had nothing to do with
yeah.
you.
Oh yeah, because it could, that's the beauty of it. It could be so vague that I'm like, okay, I'm queer, wrote about a U-Haul. Could be about anything.
Yeah. Could be. That's so funny. Yeah.
No, but no, it's just something that I write about because it's like my songwriting book is just as good as a journal to anyone else. Like,
yes.
It's like people write about their relationships all the time.
Totally.
In like maybe poem form or mm-hmm. just free thoughts
yep.
that are down on a piece of paper. But I took it an extra step to be vulnerable and release it. But no, I strictly keep a lot of that still private
yeah.
because it's like, yeah, it's just a fun song, but I know that people are going to relate to it. So.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I have not gotten any backlash though.
All right. Well, that's good to know. I had someone call me and be like, did you like, was this about so-and-so? And I was like, literally I'm 24. If you think that's the only person I've ever spoke to, then like, that's your own narrative, like, do your thing.
Yeah.
Like, that like, could have... It was the most, like, general experience, too. It's like, a boy, he was rude, and I moved on. Like, that could be about anyone. Like, you know, yeah. so that... I agree with the vagueness. But also, if the shoe fits, I like to say that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you can reflect if you think it's about you in a negative way.
And also the
talk
purpose.
Talk to me about it. Yeah.
The purpose of it. You talk about it because you know it's going to help a lot of people. And not because you want it to be directed towards
oh
this
my
one
God,
person.
No. And I
that's how I do music.
Yeah. I have like a running list of like things I've experienced. And it's not like... I went on a date once. And on the first date, the guy was like, oh, are you going to use me for your podcast? And I'm like, first of all...
He wishes.
I'm like, first of all, that was a weird question. Are you hoping I do?
Whoa.
And I think my answer was like, if you give me something to talk about, like I will, but like, don't, I'm not going out of my way to like make you like this facade or this character. You know what I mean? But
it's the clout.
They just want to tell their friends that this girl talked about me in a podcast. But like those little things are like cringy. And I'm like, now I'm not. Because, well, I just did right now, I guess. But no, like, damn it. No, just kidding. No, but I think, I just think that it's like, I'm not talking about it to like talk bad about you or to like ruin you. It's literally to be like, hey, this happened. And girls, if this guy stands you up, it's not your fault. Like you are still worth it. Like that's not your you know what I mean? Like it's more for that
message out of it.
Thank you. That's my end goal.
Yeah. So like I don't ever release something in hopes of like, oh, like this was my revenge.
No.
And like you're going down with the song. Like no.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Like I never ever mention anything too personal. It's really just I like to keep it vague. If you know, there's like a little bit of a twist
and
gin and lime, like I don't know.
That's so funny. And just the general concepts. Everyone has relationships, like you said, no matter who it's with, whether it's friends, romantic, family, like you had those experiences and we're just talking about them.
Yeah, that's
and
all
doing
it
in a public, vulnerable, exposing way. And that's our
What's
choice.
What's wrong with that?
It's 2024, we can do that.
You listen, you scream. I'm going to have that next one ready.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So, okay, now with your relationship that you're currently in, is it, this person is, are they comfortable with past things being talked about in video, in music?
Mm-hmm.
Are they, obviously, I'm guessing they have to be supportive if you guys are together.
Yes.
So how has that journey been?
Well, so she was so supportive, like, out the start. Like, actually, she was with me before I even actually released and hit go for April. So, like, she's been literally my number one supporter, has streamed my music, has created a playlist of, like in my Rockstar Girlfriend era, it like literally is my song. And I'm like, what? I'm honored. What?
That's so cute.
Yeah, but I obviously know that it can be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like I tried to put myself in the perspective of her and being mindful of her and very demure.
You're so classy.
No, but like just understanding that. Wait, okay, this might sound a little bit hurtful that I just released a song about someone, but I think it's like the key thing is. It was in my notebook, like, years ago.
That's the
so
biggest
it's just
thing.
That it's released now.
Totally.
Or, like, it's just getting tuned recently now. But
totally.
We have had talks about this because I was, like, I was in the other end. And I was, like, are you uncomfortable with this? Like,
yeah.
I actually, because if it did bother her, I probably wouldn't have released some of the songs that I did.
Okay.
Or, not that I like need to get her approval because we've talked about that before.
The support, peace of mind for her.
Just peace of mind for her, and like so I obviously like would always validate her and be like, yeah, these were just previous things, but I feel like it's good to just release and get off, obviously off my notebook. but you know, the bigger meaning, we talk about the bigger meaning all the time.
Yeah.
It's to support other people who might be going through it.
Yeah.
You know, I've healed from those.
Yeah.
And I think just the idea that she knows that, and that I'm not constantly like thinking about this, like, oh my God, I just wrote this song about my ex that, I just have to think about how much I hate.
No. That's the biggest thing is like 90% of what I'm talking about, even on this show, I give into like real life updates, but like a lot of it's stuff I wrote 3 years ago.
Yeah.
About people from high school, like random stupid things, like to me that I forget happened until I'm like, oh my God, like whenever you wrote this down, when I thought about this, like last year, like that was a dope idea. Let's talk about it, because it's still relevant. And it's not at all meaning I'm still in that mindset at all.
No.
And a lot of the stuff I've healed from, like years already. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I know what you mean. It's
super important.
It's almost
remember.
Like I have dissociated from the feeling of the song, but I'm now like in like the mood of, oh, we got to make it catchy, hooky, like. And then put it out there for people to resonate. Like, I've completely dissociated from, like, all those previous things in songs and stuff like that because I've healed from it.
Yeah.
So it's nothing more than just a song to me.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important to validate her in this, like, my partner in this, because obviously I think, like, what she has to say is so relevant.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, overstep if I, like, write this song. Like, I would, I have my own boundaries that I would never cross, like, for like writing specifically like things like that happen in previous relationships that are more like, I was in love with this person, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I would never write about that.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually married now. So. But she knows she has a song coming eventually.
Oh, that's so cute. You're like, she's so, like, not me being her muse.
Yeah. No, so like, obviously, like, it's all worth it, you know? So.
Yeah, there's, and you have to, you can't just post an album of 12,000 love songs. Like,
no.
That's cute, but it's sadly not as relatable, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And people like the tea, they like the drama, they like the sadness.
Yes.
Like,
it's more relatable for people to be like, oh, I just went through a breakup, or like, oh, I just went through something like this, rather than, I'm in, like, in love era right now.
Yeah.
I'm in my happiness era. When do you see that?
It's unfortunate because, so I, like, follow Olivia Rodrigo. She's one of my queens. And she has, like, her two main albums out.
Yes.
And I didn't realize until she has an album, I'm sorry, she has a song on her, what's it called? Oh, my God. I can't think of it. The, like, when there's a few extra songs that they add onto their album.
I think the newest one I listened to is, like, Vampire or something.
Not the song itself, but what is it called? When an artist puts out, like, a limited edition or something.
Oh, yeah.
Where they have extra songs. Yeah, the extended album.
Yeah.
She has an extended album for her newest.
Usually LPs, I think.
Okay. Yeah. But whatever it was, she, on her, like, more low-key album, posted her first, like, love song. And it's very, like, angsty still, and it's very, like, rocky, cutesy, and I loved it, because I'm like, oh my God, like, Liv is in love, like,
yes,
I feel like I know her, I'm happy for her, I'm proud of her, like, whatever, because all of her songs are just so sad and so relatable, unfortunately, but, like, so real, but having her first love song was cute, because it's like, oh my gosh, like, but notice it's not on her main album, because it's sadly not the most relatable.
Yeah.
And if I said the title right now, I bet 90% of people would never have heard that song before. Do you
know
what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just like, because I follow her, I look into that. But like you were saying, you want to have the love songs and the sweet songs, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in the world we live in, pop culture, social media, all that stuff, people don't care as much about the lovey. They want to know about the tea.
I know. Yes. That's why I like really dived into what I got going on, like with my previous songs and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's almost like I'm building a story, if you will, like of what I've personally gone through. So it's like I'm talking about past stuff before I'm talking about current.
Yes, 100%. And that's
fine. So it's just almost like that's unfortunately the order.
Yeah, that's how, I mean, for me too, when I started, I spent probably the first season only talking about past stuff.
Yeah.
Also, it was too close to home. I'm going on dates, and then I don't want to know the next week. It's about them. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I can't be that obvious.
Report back, guys.
Yeah.
It wasn't how we thought it would go.
Yeah. Eventually, like, now I'm in a space where I'm more comfortable and confident within myself to, like, be more, like, present day.
Good,
but
yeah.
Especially the first season, it was so weird and new, and the amount of texts and just weird questions I got, and, like, check-ins, and weird people who came back after years, like, wondering about the con, like, the tea, as, like, we said. Mm-hmm. So, like, I kind of grew from that, and now I have much more of, like, a gauge of what I want to put out there, and I'm comfortable if it's more modern, or not modern, I guess more time sensitive.
We are literally in a tea era.
Everything,
like,
is what
everything.
People,
yeah. Like, it's just the view hungry people.
Yeah.
And yeah, because it's what chases the virality.
Yeah.
And stuff.
The drama.
It's like, dang, is this why freaking U-Haul got like 50,000 views on TikTok?
Probably.
Like, I did a little bit of a story time.
Yeah. that's great. And that works.
Yeah.
With your long distance relationship, how long have you been together? How has this came about? How's it going being long distance? Like, what things did you have to kind of figure out?
Yeah. Well, so basically, we've known each other for, I believe it's 8 months. It's almost 9 months,
okay,
but it's been 8 months. And then we started dating about 5 months ago.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool.
It's been really great. Like, I truly feel like, it's gonna sound so cliche, my other half.
No, ooh. I know too.
No, but like, I've never met someone who I feel like so comfortable and confident with, and
good,
like, I can genuinely have real conversation with,
yeah,
and it's sustainable. It's like we both bounce off each other,
uh-huh,
and this is like our first like experience like this, so we're both like learning it too, and uh-huh, like we always like make time for each other.
Good.
Always.
Yeah.
Like, in whatever way it can be, like, and it's like, how do you make it interesting and stuff like that? Like, the phone calls turn into FaceTimes, turn into watch party movie nights.
Aww.
Like, turn into game nights, like, you know, things,
yeah,
like that. Or she'll FaceTime when she's out with friends sometimes. I'll say hi, you know. It's like,
yeah, the check-ins and stuff.
Yeah, she does a really great job of making me feel included.
Aww.
And like a lot of that, so
that's,
but
very
she's
sweet.
All she's I have nothing but great stuff to say about her.
All love. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you, and I'm happy to hear you're having a healthy experience.
Thank you.
That's,
yes,
important,
yeah,
to experience, yep, for sure.
What do they say? Like, don't stop your girlfriends, or wait, don't let your girlfriend stop you from finding your wife.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Go to.
Yeah, that is so funny. Well, I love that for you. That's,
yeah,
very exciting, and
yeah,
that support is important for sure.
Yeah, no, actually it's crazy because after each release she does like this like small little gift item that's,
aww,
like my release theme. Like, I have this like chain right here,
okay,
ring, and that's kind of what Better on My Own is about, is releasing the chains of feeling,
oh my
tied
gosh,
to the situation and breaking free,
yeah,
you know, liberating from that toxic environment,
uh-huh,
and stuff like that. So like, she got me this,
that's
chain right
so
here,
cute,
yeah, she got me a U-Haul card.
Oh my god. That's clever though. That's,
yes,
little momentums,
mm-hmm, yeah,
to remind you. That's so cute. I love,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, like, if someone is supporting me this great, then I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, and you're with the right person.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's awesome. That's,
yeah,
so exciting. I know. I see you. You're like all bashful.
Yeah,
that's so cute. I love that. Okay, I did have a question in the same realm quickly. Okay, obviously you're new to the industry. And is your girlfriend out of the industry?
She is out of the industry.
Okay. Have,
yeah,
you found that's worked better, do you think? Or do you think,
yeah,
like, did you have to, like, teach her, like, industry lingo or, like, experiences? Or, like, have you dabbled with anyone in the industry?
I haven't really had, like, an experience where I had to, like, teach her what it was,
okay,
like. She kind of just, like, understood because, like, things like, I'll have to stay up late sometimes just writing.
Yes.
Or, like, you know, I used to have a lot of, like, virtual sessions that just,
uh-huh,
like, conflicted with the times that we would call.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be like, I'm sorry, this is one of the nights. But, you know, it was unfortunate, but we understood it was for the greater good.
No, literally. Yeah, yeah.
But also, she wasn't too mad because at the end of the day, I'd have a demo to send to her for the,
yeah,
update.
Yeah, and it's still exciting.
She'd be like, oh, my God, wait. Okay, maybe it was okay that I waited like this long.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But no, she backs me like 100%,
okay,
and stuff like that. And I don't, like, it's a perfect dynamic for,
good,
me. Like she's out of the industry, but she's so involved at the same time. Like, she knows music. Like,
okay,
music is something that, like, really actually connected us two together.
Okay.
Not in the industry wise, but she's just always listening and always creating playlists and stuff like,
okay,
that. And like, so she's got a really, really great music taste.
Okay. Well, then that works,
yeah,
well. So it is a good
balance.
It works
great, well, yeah.
Sometimes there could be too much if they're both in the industry, or there could be imbalances,
yeah,
or like jealousies, insecurities. So that's
yeah,
good that it's working.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would ever do anything that would result in, like, jealousy or anything like
that.
Yeah,
like, of course.
I don't know. I feel like my music videos are good enough not to involve another person or anything like that. Like, I would just keep it very simple and very, like, straightforward.
Yeah.
And she's actually filmed my music videos. If you've seen my YouTube, yeah, she's filmed, like, she filmed Not a U-Haul. Like, that was in her town. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was off her camera. She's, like, a girl in film.
Oh my God, Slay.
Yeah, literally, wait. I was like, okay.
I love that.
That's how supportive she is.
Yeah,
so, like,
and that
because
helps.
I have that, like, I'm like, wait, yeah, this works great. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if roles were reversed and maybe she was in this industry, I might have a different view, or maybe I'll respect it a little more because I'll be like, oh, let me take a lot of notes, like, on.
Yeah, you, like, learn.
But I feel like you can learn that through friendships.
Totally.
I have a lot of friendships that I've gained from social media that are people in the industry.
And sometimes having someone separate is important to, like, make you keep yourself grounded.
Keep me sane.
And accountable and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
That's awesome.
But what we have for sure works.
Yeah.
So.
Good.
I think it'd be too conflicting schedule-wise.
Oh, yeah. If you guys were both full out. Like.
Oh, you're recording a song too? Okay, got it.
Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, bye.
What advice do you have for people who are in... Okay, you talked about a lot of people coming into the industry.
Yes.
So how would you say, what is, like, the biggest thing you've learned in terms of, like, balance with yourself as a human, your relationships, friends, family, girlfriend, and your industry experiences? And if you work in 9-to-5, like, what have you learned with balance?
I want to probably say two messages out of this.
Okay.
The first one being, make music for yourself and not for other people.
Okay.
Because it's going to skew your authenticity to make music for other people. And you're going to just, like, lose yourself, I feel. But, like, being grounded and being authentic and writing music that you truly believe in, regardless if you care if other people do, it'll go a longer way. Because, like, people don't listen to you just to listen to you. They have a reason.
Uh-huh.
And it could be the lyrics or it could be following your story.
Mm-hmm.
So be authentic as possible and make music for yourself that feels good.
I love that. That makes a lot of sense.
That would be my first. My second is, don't be afraid to be you. And I know that's, like, definitely, like, oversaturated. Like, people hear that all the time.
But, no, it makes sense.
But for the longest time, I mean, me being queer, like, I've had to hide myself for so many years of my life that, and, like, had to, like, think of, oh, wait, no, I need to change myself. I need to change my beliefs. I need to, like, hide myself, whatever. When I started being openly comfortable with being myself and mm-hmm. being in my skin, it allowed me to be a more authentic version of myself.
Yeah.
And allowed me to create music and lyrics that are so true to myself and, like, just tie the story together.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That makes
sense. Don't be afraid to be yourself. Yeah, don't, like, change yourself for the industry. Don't, like, think, like, you need, like, this prop to, like, go big. Or,
okay.
Like, be famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really just comes down to you.
And I'm sure being yourself and being able to express yourself and after, like, you find yourself and everything also brings you to the people who want to support and uplift the real version of you.
Yes.
Not the one that you have to put up because you think that's what society or people around you want you to do or to be.
Yeah.
So that's important to find that community.
They don't support what you do. They support why you do it.
Yeah, that
so
makes sense.
That's, like, the
that's
most
a great
important
point.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's like, why is she doing this? Okay, wait, let me go back and listen to the lyrics. Oh.
Yeah, and it's more important and impactful.
It's a little too relatable.
I love that. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is there anything you want to talk about in terms of your experience being queer?
I haven't had anything insane other than, like, just constantly gaining more supporters daily
mm-hmm.
and being able to be heard by more people.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I love, I mean, people, like, love hate social media.
Yeah.
But, like, the side that I really love is who I'm able to connect with
mm-hmm.
like daily.
Totally.
It's new people every day, but it's always people who I feel like I built this for you page brick by brick. Like, I have this list.
Yeah, that's so
but
funny.
I just love connecting with people like that, and I surround myself with people like that. I follow people on social media who are also queer and independent, and
uh-huh.
just so I can understand, okay, well, what can I get a scope of what it's like to be like this? I think like Zolita was a big one that I first like followed her, kind of in the realm of like Fletcher, like she knows,
yeah,
she knows, like mutuals with Fletcher and stuff like that. But I got to see her journey from like first song to like now. And I'm like,
so cool.
She's openly queer. Like her first music video was her and a girl, slay. You know why that song blew up.
Oh my god, I love that. Yeah.
I just love when people are like not afraid to hide it.
Yeah.
It's like cool. Like it just allows me to be more confident.
Good.
In myself.
That's important.
Yeah.
And then you're doing that for people the way those artists have done that for you.
Yes.
You know, which is so important.
Yeah.
And that goes back to probably your why as well.
Yeah. And I take like inspiration from different artists. I think like a lot of people do maybe. Mm-hmm. Like I choose this artist for this or this artist for this.
Yeah.
Have a different purpose for it. I really like took a lot of inspiration for Sam Smith and like the soulful voice, but also the messaging behind being queer, being gay, being, you know, in this industry, and but also having such a powerful voice.
Yeah.
Goes a long way. But then like I supported Melanie Martinez for the longest time too, because she's so creative when it comes to sound and visual.
Yes.
And senses. Like she really wants her audience to be able to feel and see exactly how she envisioned it.
Mm-hmm.
Very artsy, very cutesy.
I love that. Well, that's important, and I'm glad that you are using your platform for the bigger picture as well, which is awesome. And I'm sure you're touching many people, especially with all the content you're creating and all the different platforms and different audiences, which is nice to see what works and what people want to see, which is important.
Yeah, and that's definitely the goal. I think another goal of mine is just like reaching people that are outside of maybe my target audience, and like just maybe creating some allyship out of it. Like,
totally, yeah, broadening, you know, like, that.
Yeah, because I think it's equally as important. It's like, okay, this is a very, very small niche group of artists, like lesbian women who create music. But it's like, it goes so far beyond that. Like, obviously, we're all talking about relationships. Let's be real.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's like, how do I, how can I be unique in all of this?
Totally.
And how can I embrace myself fully?
Yeah.
And, you know, I do want to, like, maybe I have niche specific music, which is that the U-Haul song and other music and stuff. But I also want to dive into maybe relationship music or other types of music that supports just about anyone, too.
Yeah.
I'm not just trying to create my own little cult, or maybe I am.
But no, like, a relationship is a relationship, so that's all very, can be very generalized too, if you do want to make it more broad, and regardless of speaking to many people.
I've seen some straight people U-Haul, so
yeah, 100%.
I've seen it happen.
That's so funny. Like,
well, oh, you guys are getting married after 3 months.
What's going on there?
What is happening?
Yeah, that is very valid. Okay, so now just you as a human, Kelly, what advice, or what was the biggest lesson you've learned in life so far?
Whoa. Like, just broad?
Just whatever you want. Whatever that means to you.
If it scares you, do it.
Oh, I love that.
If it scares you, do it. It applies to my music. It applies to my life.
There's so many like quotes and things that I follow. It's like, the reason why you're scared is because you know you're meant for something bigger, and like that bigger thing is terrifying, and it seems almost out of reach.
You can't see it, but there's a plan.
Yeah, yeah, I love that so much.
Yeah,
that's amazing, and that works for any industry, any career,
anything
in human life that people experience.
So I think people get caught up on the fear, and that's why they don't do it. But people don't realize that the failure is what takes to actually get somewhere.
And honestly, the fear of not doing it for me is more scary, of like regretting it, or regretting not doing it.
Mm-hmm. And you never know what you missed out on.
Mm-hmm. The unknown, like you said, or like way earlier.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm like, sometimes it scares me, like, knowing that, like, pretty vulnerable music is out there. I'll wake up with, like, a gut feeling. I'm like, am I doing the right thing?
Uh-huh.
But I am, because then I'll get, like, a DM on TikTok that's like, oh, my God, I just, like, listened and streamed your song.
Yeah.
You have no idea what type of situation I was just in that this song helped me.
Those little validations.
Oh my God.
That's exactly what the point is. Yeah, that feeling is, like, elating. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
I love that. I think this is coming close to an end. Do you have any thoughts or questions for me, or anything else that you want to put out there?
What's your biggest life lesson?
I feel like it a lot changes throughout life and everything, but I think the biggest thing is similar to taking the risks, like no risk, no reward.
True.
It's one thing I've been more in that mindset of lately, of just taking the risk, going full out, worst case, just start all over. Like, you can always, like, restart.
Because that's what's happening.
That's what, yeah, exactly. So I think that's where I'm at now. Like, my wallpaper, like, everything is very just, like, do it full out, and whatever happens is meant to happen. If it doesn't work out, something better was waiting for you, or life had another path for you. Mm-hmm. But also, I believe in that it will work out, and then you take it from there.
That's so great. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Thank you.
The power of manifestation and affirmations.
Yeah.
Daily.
Dude,
literally.
I so, like, so believe in that. Like, yeah. Totally. It's how my whole life has come. Even this podcast, I manifested it 2 years
really?
Ago. Yeah, I wrote down onto the next podcast in 2023 or 2022.
Wow.
And then within a year, it came up, and I didn't even realize I wrote it down. Like, I forgot because it was
That's
so long
incredible.
Ago.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a post-worthy moment.
That is a post-worthy moment. I have to go back. I have it on my phone.
Once
and on my
you reach
notebook.
That 100K.
Dude, yeah, that's what I have to tell where
it's
it began.
Gonna happen
once it happens.
Yes, once
speak
it, happens,
it into existence.
It's already in the process, totally. Yeah. Yeah,
and we'll come back for part two once we both reach it.
Yes, please. Please and thank you. I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Kelly, do you want to plug all your socials? I will add them as well.
Yeah, yeah. You can reach me at TikTok and Instagram, which are where I'm most lively on at Kelly_Maxwell.
There you go, Kelly _ Maxwell.
Yep. And then I have YouTube and Facebook, but I'm not really on there that much. I'm trying to build up my YouTube, though.
Yeah.
All my YouTube.
Yes. And then where are your songs streaming?
Spotify. Well, I have them pretty much anywhere.
Okay.
Mainly Spotify, yeah. Apple Music, Tidal Wave, Deezer, Amazon.
All the
literally
things.
All the things.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. So you guys have no excuse. You have to listen.
You have to.
There's literally
you have to be
everywhere.
Forced to heal. Don't avoid it.
Forced to heal. Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. That is so funny. I love that so much.
Yep.
Well, Kelly, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being here and spreading your love and wisdom.
Absolutely.
You all know the drill. Like, comment, subscribe, share, repost, tell your friends, tell your family, and let's continue to be a part of this journey together.
Yeah.
So.
And there's more music coming.
Yes.
So.
I will be I'll like share stuff too as things go on because you'll be like
cool.
Known. You're a new character unlocked on the pod.
Yes.
Yeah. So don't forget. Like, please give Kelly all the love and support. Definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
Her too.
Thank you. Just plugging each other, okay? Please and thank you. Lots of love.
Our socials.
Yeah. That's so funny. Well, you know what's happening now. So I will see you when we are on to the next episode next week. Bye.
Bye.